Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you every Wednesday, God willing, from noon to 1 p.m. on the West Coast. And it's kind of strange weather we're having here on the West Coast. It's very humid. First, it was very hot. We had a heat wave. And it's still hot, but not hot, hot. And it's very humid, though. And I was outside messing around with my plants, and all of a sudden it started to sprinkle and on a sunny day. So the weather is changing, and it's very strange. It used to be like we'd hear states like Oklahoma or Arizona or the more desert states was humid. Not that we're all not a desert here, but we have the ocean, and we have the mountains, and we have the lakes, and so forth. It isn't like we are living in a desert where there's a lot of humidity. In fact, it's very rare. So especially here by the ocean, and ocean breeze isn't even working. So I don't know what's going on with Mother Nature or God or man-made weather manipulation and triangulations and AI and all this. The towers they have, they're exuding so much radiation, and then the radiation that poured into the ocean, then the radiation they perform on you, in my opinion, unconstitutionally, illegally and unlawfully, as a law-abiding citizen, radiating your bodies. And then we have the smart meters, and we have the computers and the cell phones, and everything's got radiation. So who knows why people are, young people, especially since January 2021, and all those who believe in the experimental injections are, according to the news, suffering today. So we need to take a look at all this radiation and experimental jabs and different things that are happening to human beings, along with the abortion at birth, after birth, which is always controversial since the 1970s. And actually, it wasn't that long ago, because prior to that, abortions were very low on the totem pole. And of course, there is condoms, and there is contraceptives and all kinds of devices doctors have today, to pills, whatever, to prevent pregnancy. So that would probably be the best way to go to avoid having to make a decision about aborting your babies. So we have about 70 million babies or more since the 70s who have been aborted by abortionists for profit. And that means we are 70 million natural born Americans short. So we have a very low birth rate in America, and you need babies in order to preserve sovereign nations. But if the borders are not secure, then we really don't have sovereign nations. And on that note, that to me is a violation in America of the immigration. Sorry about that noise. The immigration law, because, you know, Americans came to America from Europe, and then they brought other ethnicities and races to our country to work on the railroads and cotton fields and things like that. And they were not treated so nicely, but we've overcome a lot of it that has occurred in our history. But I believe that the Native Americans, who are the natural born Americans and own this land, this homeland of theirs, who were very mistreated from the very beginning, and many of their tribes were made extinct by men who believed that they had the privilege and the right to steal their land and their buffalo and their farmland and their water rights, and they did. It's a mess. And so today, we're going to talk about something that I think is important to everyone. And I think you're going to find it very intriguing as well, because we're going to ask the question of Bill Byes, our very special returning guest. Was the War of 1861 to 1865 a constitutional war? And is the United States in a constitutional war today and a constitutional crisis? And I came across a quote that said, "To live without faith, without a heritage to defend, without battling constantly for truth, is not to live, but to get along. We must never just get along." And that's B1 Pier Giorgio Frassati. And he's a Roman Catholic. And that is his quote for the world. I believe that's true. It was, can't remember the name of the man who was arrested and abused, but he always said, "Can't we all just get along?" Well, apparently we can't. So we, as he says, Mr. Frassati, not just get along. We have to do more than just get along. We have to have respect for, turn to the sanctity of life, to the sanctity of traditional marriage. And whatever adults want to do is fine, but that's their choice and their free will. But we should not be forced into any of these sexual preference indoctrinations for our minor children or for us, because free will and free choice was granted to us naturally at birth from God of the universe, God of the Bible. And we don't have to give up our free will and free choice to a man or a woman because they have a temporary title attached to their name. Remember that. So let me tell you something about our very special guest, Bill Byes, and that's B-A-Y-E-S. He is the son of William W. and Geraldine F. Byes, and who was born on April 26, 1951 in Amsterdam, New York. His father was a United States Army medic in the Korean War at the time of his birth. And growing up in the military, he was able to live in many different states, experience different parts of the country. And this gave him a different insight on things politically and militarily that most Americans don't experience. He graduated from Biloxi High School in Biloxi, Mississippi, in 1969, majored in music education, graduated from the University of Southern Mississippi, and he married Val Henderson in 1973 with two beautiful grown daughters. He was a high school band director interested in history, U.S. history. He was involved in many different sales ventures. He's a business owner in the manufacturing field. He's a veteran, and he's also involved in politics for many, many years. And he participated in many local and state campaigns. The first time he ran for public office for vice president was in 2015 because, like many of us American patriots, we have a strong belief that government is made up of public servants who are not our bosses. They don't pay us, this is my own quote, They don't pay us. We pay them with our hard-earned taxes and by the sweat of our brows and sacrificing so that they have not only huge taxpayer wages paid to them, but also benefits and travel and Cadillac health insurance. They don't have to sign up for Obamacare. They didn't have to be punished for not signing up for Obamacare because American taxpayers fund their Cadillac health insurance. And we also fund, no matter how long they were in Congress, apparently, their lifetime pensions. Why is that? Why don't they open their own IRAs and retirement, stimulate the economy, and do like everyone else does and save for their own retirement? So all of this is huge. And on that note, I am going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, and we're going to speak and ask Bill Byes that particular question, was the war of 1861 to 1865 a constitutional war? And I also want to know if he thinks that there is a constitutional war right now, today, going on in our country, and if it is a constitutional crisis that we are facing. So I will be back in just a moment on Colombo Chronicles Live, here every Wednesday, just for you.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles Live Podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Listen up, because now we're entering into the world of authors and experts, and we are going to speak to our special expert today, Bill Byes, and let's say hello to Bill. Hi, Bill. How are you today?
I am doing great, Rose. How are you?
Well, I'm great. We have some humidity here in California, which is very surprising. It was even sprinkling while the sun was out. Very unusual weather here. But,
gotcha.
You know, that's what makes the world go round today. So, Bill, I'm so happy that you're returning to us on Colombo Chronicles. And I told the audience a little bit about your background. And I was added a little more of a question to your first question I wanted to ask you, which is, was the war of 1861 to 1865 a constitutional war? And if you could explain that to our audience, and then also add on if you believe that we are now in a constitutional war for our very freedom, liberty, rights, and sovereignty, and life, and if we're in a constitutional crisis. So it's all yours.
Okay. Well, the so-called Civil War of 1861 to 1865 was actually not a constitutional war. Even Abraham Lincoln knew that himself and even said so in writing. It was definitely the South. The South seceded. Every one of the states in our United States is an individual nation state, and they have the right to secede. The South did it constitutionally. They followed the Constitution, and they seceded. Lincoln actually had no right whatsoever to attack another country, because the South became the CSA, the Confederate States of America. And if you remember back to the beginning of our founding, we were a confederation of states, or a confederation of colonies. We started out with 13 original colonies. They became the 13 states. And they also recognized the fact that each state was a sovereign nation state. And Lincoln's war was definitely unconstitutional. Not that it made any difference to him or any of his generals, because they did wage war. But actually what happened was they attacked a foreign nation. It wasn't really a civil war. And I have lived down south for many years, even though I grew up north. So I've, with that background, I've kind of seen it from two different points of view, along with my military background point of view. And a lot of people down south felt it was a war of northern aggression. And most of them down here call it that. And historically, they're actually correct, because that's really what it was. The other part of your question that you added to it was, are we under a constitutional crisis? Yes, I'm going to get into that in a little bit here, because we have not recognized, or our so-called federal government has not recognized the Constitution from 1861 on, and definitely from 1871 on. And I'll get into that in a little bit. So yes, we're under a constitutional crisis, and the main crisis is they're not following it. If they did follow it, there's a lot of things that they would not be doing that they do on a daily basis. And Rose, I've said for probably the last 25 to 30 years that Congress violates the Constitution on a daily basis. And most people in this country don't even realize that.
Yes, that's why I think this conversation is extremely important, because I have been politically involved since I was young, because my mother was politically involved with the Republican Party, and she actually flew to D.C. and ate in the United Nations lunchroom, and she met with Mr. and Mrs. Nixon at a luncheon. She met with she went to the governor's ball for President Reagan when he was elected as governor. She has beautiful photos. She passed away, but she did a lot. And so she always had me somehow involved as a young person. And so I always was interested in politics and injustices. And I find, Bill, that anyone who swears an oath and in unclean hands, and not in clean hands intentionally, to gain access to public office in high positions for selfish reasons, and such as political, financial, or personal gain, and the heck with the American people. Because I remember a former female Speaker of the House, when President Obama was elected, slammed the doors of the White House for the first time in history, to my knowledge, that we were told to sit down, shut up, be quiet, and just do as we're told. And they no longer were imposing, we were no longer imposing our will, as according to the Constitution, on them who we pay their wages with our hard and earned tax dollars from the sweat of our brows, sacrificing our families for them so they can live comfortable lives for the rest of their lives. And they were now, and they began imposing their will on the American people. So that is a violation of the sworn oath, in my opinion. And I don't think most people know that if they are found guilty, that the people have the right to complain and file complaints with sheriffs or the sergeant at arms. For violating a sworn oath, that they can, if found guilty, be jailed and fined. I don't think the power of the people. What do you think?
Well, I think the reason that they don't worry about the power of the people is because the people have been pretty well compromised. I think a lot of that is through the public school system, that they're trained to look at government as the end all and the be all. From the from the cradle to the grave, the government takes care of you, which is baloney, but they indoctrinate our children with that. And I've recommended to people for years and years to homeschool their children, to teach them the true Constitution, the true founding of our nation. And my daughters never went one day to the public school system. They know history very well. They know about the government. They know what it is. And of course, as you and I both know, the founders were very well aware of what government was because they fought a tax revolt against King George and the British Parliament. And then taking it back to my original question, the unconstitutional war of 1861, that was fought also over unfair taxation. It was import duty on cotton. And I'm not talking as a Southerner, I'm talking as an American, because I lived until almost 18 years old up north and my last year in California, and then we came to Mississippi. And most of my adult life I've lived in Mississippi. But I understand history and I understand what happened. And it's really bad. But there's been a total disregard of the Constitution of the United States since 1861, and that has not changed to this day. Congress just ignores it, and they do as they please.
The Constitution states that the states are to have the power to control each state, and the federal government is to have a limited power. That is a joke today. The federal government is controlling everything and everyone, and now they're involved with Wall Street to do an experiment, eliminating our cash like in China, and insert the Merit app, which they first called the Agenda 21 vaccine passport, but that's not what it is. It is the Chinese Communist Merit app that they have used in their country, where the government controls all the money so that they can control all the people. And I did a show on that in the 90s with a very knowledgeable woman who told us what was going to happen on my show, Issues of the Day. And I have the tape. And she said, I was kind of confounded by what she was saying. She said that they were using the public schools, because you mentioned the public schools, using the public schools to give children, because her grandchild got this test, on what they want to be and who, all these different psychological questions, because the government was going to decide who will be the blue-collar workers, who will be the white-collar workers, who will be rich or poor, what you can do, what you can't do, if you can buy or not buy, and if you, you know, violate the credit app, if you violate the anything in opposition to the government, like in communist China, then you get denied travel, you get denied vacations, you get denied buying a house, you get denied buying anything. And if you think about it, even in America, credit cards have declined people's access to purchases today, and that's been going on since the 90s. I think we've been under a shadow government who is seeking to wipe out our cash to take control of our lives and enslave us. That is my conspiracy theory for today. So,
well,
what do you think about my
conspiracy theory? I believe it's going on worldwide right now, and we are, and with their Agenda 2030, we are heading there as fast as they can go, and that's what they want. And the public school system, it's really the government indoctrination system. That's really what it is. We might as well speak the truth. That's what it is, and that's why it is.
And the other thing, Bill, is that it's not just the Department of Education. It's also the AMA, because I just read an entire article on how the public schools are indoctrinating kids into genital mutilation, which in 1990s on Salem Communications, I had a show, and that's a huge Christian. I talked about genital mutilation in Africa and the Middle East, and that it was, in my opinion, should be ended because it's child abuse and barbaric. And in those countries, they don't even use doctors. It's anyone who decides that they have the power to do that horrific act. And then I interviewed women from those countries who were grown and adult, and they said it's very painful, that they have a lot of pain when they have sex, and that it's horrifying. And that's so that they can't enjoy sex. Only the men can. But now it's genital mutilation for using children as human commodities for human capital, and now it's becoming a billion-dollar business for these unethical surgeons to sterilize these children. So that's yes. part of the depopulation program, again, in my conspiracy theory.
Yes,
everything
it is.
Seems
and,
to
and
go
the
back
other,
to depopulation.
And the other conspiracy theory is about the vaccine, too, and that's been done to also make them where they can't have children and also have heart problems and everything. I mean, it's just everything's being perpetrated. It goes back to that statement many years ago that Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, nothing in politics happens by mistake. It's all planned. And that's probably the only truthful statement he said in his lifetime. And I always throw that out to people, and they just kind of look at me and they go, oh, gosh, when they finally realize it. But the federal government has 32 enumerated powers. This is what they can do. Anything outside of those 32 enumerated powers, they can't do. That is reserved for the individual sovereign nation states. And you live in
the
sovereign nation.
But the problem is, Bill, they got their big foot on everybody now.
Oh, they do. They do. We just need to be educating people and pushing back, because they really don't. And through the years, I have stood a lot of politicians down because I let them know, you're my employee. You're not my boss. You're not my leader. You can't even lead yourself. And I let them know, because that's really what they are. They're people just like you and I. And they have their opinions, and they're entitled to it, but they can't lord it over me, and they have sworn an oath to represent the people that vote them into office and to follow the Constitution to the letter, and most of them do not. And when they don't follow their oath of office, that's called treason, and treason is still a hanging offense. And people don't realize the gravity of the situation. And these politicians really don't realize the gravity of the situation. But I think there is pushback. You won't hear about pushback in the mainstream media because they're bought and paid for too.
Absolutely. And you won't hear this information on those shows because they're going to get taken off the show if they dare to speak out, because critical thinking now is not is a novelty. Critical thinking is not welcomed by those who oppose the Constitution, anti-constitutionalists,
exactly.
And who also took funding donations into the Department of Justice. This is another real problem in my opinion, is that these Wall Street wealthy people who are involved in this New World Order agenda and lockstep and all the rest of it, they are donating 6 and 7 figures to prosecutors, judges, and so forth. How can we have a justice system, Bill, if they are compromised by huge donations?
Exactly. We can't. We have a very corrupt court system in this country, very corrupt. And it all...
They have a new master, the donor.
Sure. It all goes back to the Civil War of 1861 to 65. That war was perpetrated to destroy states' rights. Robert E. Lee made the Robert E. Lee, as most Americans know about him, he was a Virginian, and when the Civil War was about to begin, Abraham Lincoln offered Robert E. Lee, who was the top general in the country at the time, he offered him command of the Union Army, and Robert E. Lee refused. And the reason he refused was he was a Virginian, and he told Abraham Lincoln, I cannot raise my sword against Virginia, and Virginia had already seceded. So that's why Robert E. Lee commanded the Army of Virginia. So a lot of people, again, if they don't know history, they don't know exactly what went on. But the war was perpetrated to destroy states' rights. It wasn't about slavery. Slavery was already on its way out. And the war began in April of 1861. The Emancipation Proclamation wasn't passed until November of 1863, 2.5 years later. So if the war was about slavery, why wasn't the Emancipation Proclamation in 1861? Why did they wait 2.5 years? Of course, the reason was to just give the North more ammunition and rally more people around the North, because really till 1863, the South was winning the war. So, and again, I just know history. I'm not trying to take sides, but the sad thing about it, and I'll ask you this question, Rose, who won the Civil War?
Gosh. Did anybody? I don't know.
Well, they,
because the
actually,
war continued
a lot of people think that the North won the Civil War. The North and the South lost the Civil War to the corrupt federal government that seized power. Look at how many people were killed and families were decimated. There were 700,000 military combatants on both the North and the South that were killed in the Civil War. Plus, there were at least another 1 million men, women, and children that were killed during the Civil War. The country, we didn't have a big population like we have today. That decimated the country. That decimated families. So all the families were weak. And again, that's why the war was perpetrated. And the powers that be really used Abraham Lincoln. He was their instrument to do it. And of course, at the end of the war, he was the last casualty. They killed him off. Again, it was all planned. It's my belief that it's all planned. People can argue, you know, back and forth on that one. But the results were the same. The federal government became all-powerful at the end of the Civil War, and beforehand they were as the founders wanted it. The founders wanted a very weak central government. They wanted the power to be with the states and ultimately with you and I, with we the people. We the people are the powerful ones in this country. But again, people have shirked on that duty. But there's many things that the federal government does. For example, the federal income tax. It's been unconstitutional since December 23rd, 1913. It violates the 10th Amendment. What exists at the state level cannot exist at the federal level. So if you have a state income tax in any one of the 50 states, you can't have a federal income tax. It violates the 10th Amendment. But yet, look at what we've been doing since 1913, or actually 1914, because it was enacted on December 23rd, 1913. The other things that were enacted on that same day, in addition to the illegal income tax, was the IRS was created to collect the illegal tax. The Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private bank, primarily run by the Rothschilds, and also the Rockefeller family is involved in that, but it's basically a federal, they came up with a cute name, Federal Reserve Bank, but it is a private foreign bank run by the Rothschilds and still is to this day. And then the fourth thing that was on December 23rd, 1913 was popular election of U.S. senators, and that one right there was very important to their goal of controlling the people. from 1789 until 1913, U.S. senators, the whole U.S. Senate, was appointed by their state legislators and therefore beholden to their governor and their state legislatures. That was how the founders wanted it. They wanted that branch of the government totally controlled by the states, so that if they didn't do what their state legislators wanted them to do, they can immediately remove them that day and replace them with someone else that day. So that was taken away, and yet that amendment was not passed. I think there was only two states that even voted for it, and you need to have, I believe it's two-thirds of the states to do, it's either two-thirds or three-quarters. Right now that's kind of leaving my mind right now, but it's a majority, a supermajority of the states to enact an amendment to the Constitution. That's never been amended properly. So we shouldn't have popular election of U.S. senators. They still should be appointed by the states as the founders wanted. Again, there we go with another direct violation of the Constitution. So a lot of things were done back in 1913. And in my opinion, Congress was just as corrupt, if not more corrupt, than what we've got now. And that says a lot.
I personally believe that only natural-born Americans should be able to be president, vice president, congressional members, United States attorney generals, and judges, because everyone else who is an immigrant or illegal or a refugee has a separate homeland of their birth and their family and genealogy that they are innate to and that they have love and passion for. We all have love and passion as human beings for where we are innate to the soil and born to two legal parents of that nation who gives birth to a baby in that nation or the protected soil of that nation. And so at least America does that. But they convoluted the meaning of a natural-born baby in America, and they allowed anchor babies, which are not naturalized Americans, because the parents violated our immigration laws intentionally to commit a fraud to have a baby on our soil. But that doesn't make them a naturalized American, because the parents were not legally here and they committed a fraud on Americans by illegally entering our country just to have the baby, have the American people pay for the baby so they could gain citizenship and stay here. And then we end up paying for all of these millions of people that this has been going on for years that are not truly naturalized Americans, legally naturalized Americans, because their intent was never that their intent was to commit a fraud on America, to jump the fence and to give birth here so that they could all gain access to America. A naturalized American is a legal immigrant who, like our grandparents, came here and and assimilated and became legal naturalized Americans. And the other point I want to make is that the problem with not having natural-born Americans have the privilege of running their own country and upholding the Constitution is that naturalized Americans, even if they're legal or not legal, they can be deported for certain crimes from America, and they have been. And even recently, an American was deported. Well, he was originally born in Italy. I don't know if he actually was a legal immigrant here, but he was deported, and he was Italian, and he was deported back to Italy, and he had to leave his family here for committing certain crime. So they can be deported, and so can refugees be deported. How are they accessing our highest positions in our government when they aren't even vetted? And some of them have criminal records. Some of them are anti-constitutionalist, anti-American. Some of them came here with no identification, but were flown in and pushed through the refugee agencies, who were given financial incentives, according to the whistleblowers, to push as many through from the Middle East and mostly the Middle East or Mexico or China into the USA, which is called collectivism. And therefore, they are given all these privileges under the 2009 regime, who said that they didn't have to sign up for Obamacare, they didn't have to be punished, and neither did the illegal. But if the Americans didn't sign up and pay up, they would be fined. And they even had, at one point, the intent of putting people in jail, Americans in jail, if they didn't sign up. And also, the Congress never even read any of the laws, the mandates, the regulations, the fines, the fees, the taxes, the penalties that were inside those 2,700 pages. I did, and so did Liberty Counsel. So I wrote a whole blog and sent it to every congressman, every senator, including my own, and part of it was read on the congressional floor with my name on the record. And I said it bordered on extortion. And I believe that then, and I believe it now. And it also rationed and denied health care to American citizens, even though they have to pay up. It also rationed and denied and included euthanasia, included mandated taxpayer abortions worldwide. People didn't even know this. And mandated taxpayer-funded jabs worldwide paid by the American people. Right. So that's why Big Pharma didn't have to pay up for the distribution, only collect the profit.
I'm sorry, Rose,
I had to go off on that.
right, that's okay. But doing that is called treason, because is health care one of the 32 enumerated powers? No, it's not. Health care is not in the U.S. Constitution as much as they want it to be. Health care should be private only. And the federal government should not be able to lord it over us with the so-called Obamacare. And that leads to another thing. Obama's one of the ones that's illegally here in this country because he is a citizen of Indonesia. He is not an American citizen. He's never been an American citizen. Kamala Harris, our current vice president, she is not an American citizen. Her father's from Jamaica. Her mother's from the country of India. They met in college in this country. They were foreign students in this country. And they then moved to Canada. So if anything, Kamala is a citizen of Canada, but she's not an American citizen. And again, both president and vice president have to be natural-born citizens. And natural-born means offspring of two American citizens. Both the mother and the father have to be American citizens at the time of their birth, lawful American citizens at the time of their birth, for them to be able to run for president or vice president, let alone get elected. Just to run, they have to be natural born citizens. Kamala Harris is not. Barack Obama is not. And there's several other people that have run recently for president. They're not qualified either because they're not offspring of two American citizens at the time of their birth. And one is Ted Cruz and another one is Marco Rubio. Marco's parents came from Cuba and he was born in 1971 and his parents became citizens, naturalized citizens, in 1976, 5 years after he was born. So sorry, Marco, you cannot run for president. You are not natural born. You're a citizen, yes, but you're not natural born because your parents did become citizens. And Ted Cruz,
the
same thing.
And the Constitution,
it's very clear
does
on that,
state very clearly that is a privilege for the natural-born American, and the law of nations which is the book they've used for generations by justices, judges, lawyers,
yes,
law professors to define the law, clearly states, and it has always been until 2009, that a natural-born citizen is a baby born to two legal American citizens on U.S. soil or on protected soil. It is such a simple definition that it actually is a definition for all sovereign nations around the world. I can't go to the Middle East, let's say Iran, and then decide I'm going to have a baby there. Too old to have a baby, but decide I'm going to have a baby there with, you know, in a family and everything, and claim myself as a natural-born citizen who's going to run for public office. They're going to kick me out or laugh
right.
at me or whatever. But everybody right. that's coming illegally into our country or an alleged refugee under the guise of a refugee, they aren't even refugees because many of them came here and stated on our sidewalks that they weren't here to uphold the Constitution. They were here to impose their ideologies on America. And they're on video saying it, even in promoting for public schools how they're going to do it, and even how they inserted certain ideologies that were in opposition to the Constitution. And so this is a huge nightmare for the natural-born Americans who are, and the legal, loyal, naturalized Americans who came here to be free and to have, live in a sovereign nation where their leaders are sworn to defend and protect the United States Constitution. So we have a mess on our hands.
We have a very bad future generation. Right. But Rose, that mess was created long before you and I were born. It was perpetrated in 1871 by the Treasonous Act of 1871. It was passed by the 41st Congress. America was transformed into a British corporation. The Rothschilds had funded both sides of the Civil War, and our federal government became bankrupt at the end of that war, and they were beholden to the Rothschilds, and so the Rothschilds said, we'll forgive the debt, or they'll do whatever to make it good. But they wanted to turn Washington, D.C. into a British corporation, and it is still that corporation today. A lot of people argue back and forth that yes, it is, and no, it isn't. But from the research I have done, it has been a British corporation since 1871. And by the way, Washington, D.C., most people don't understand this. Washington, D.C. is a 10-square-mile area sitting on Maryland land that was given to the country for a nation's capital during the second term of George Washington. And John Adams was the first president to reside in the White House in Washington, D.C., as they were, it was still under construction, as was the Capitol and everything else. But again, Washington, D.C. is the only land in this country that is really federal. Everything else is states. Maryland is a state. A lot of people have been screaming about having D.C. statehood. Well, you're already part of Maryland. Just dissolve Washington, D.C., and you can go right back to Maryland. And Rose, you and I and everybody else would be a whole lot better off if that happened. Just dissolve it.
Because it is a mess. I believe that D.C. is a district of corruption.
Yes, it is.
Actually, if they were to make the Constitution meaningless, then they would make the District of Corruption meaningless, D.C. They would also make themselves meaningless, too. They would all have to resign we should not have to pay any of them any wages, because
right.
if they want to make the Constitution meaningless, they have just talked themselves out of and voted for wipe out their positions in the federal
well,
government.
But again, that's where the states come in, and if they don't have the backbone to stand up to it, it's called nullification, and I know you're familiar with that. The states, every
yes.
state, every sovereign state has the right to nullify any federal law. If they say it's unconstitutional, we refuse to follow it, there's nothing that the federal government can do to make them follow it. And
in
most
fact,
people,
law
again,
enforcers
don't
have
realize
that right
that.
Too. Law enforcers
What's
have
that?
That right too. Law enforcers, sheriffs, they can say,
yes.
we are not going to follow no. that law. It is not constitutional. We're sworn to
right.
uphold the Constitution. And the military,
yeah.
too. But nobody appears to be
yeah.
actually standing up.
Well, there are certain sheriffs across the country that realize
well, yes, that's
that
true.
They are the
yeah.
top. They are the top law enforcement person in their county. The county sheriff is above anything federal. If a federal marshal
right.
came in and wanted to do something in the county, that county sheriff can arrest him, put him in the jail, and basically throw the key away. Because that guy doesn't have any rights over that county sheriff. And some sheriffs have gotten to the point that they're ready to start doing that. There is state sovereignty, even though they took it away illegally in 1871, and it was illegally. And people have to realize when that was perpetrated in 1871, from 1871 forward, the federal government has been illegal and unconstitutional. And each state government that they have formed since 1871 is also illegal and unconstitutional. So we are living in an unconstitutional America and have been since 1871. Think about that, Rose. Think about how long that has been. And the
yeah.
other thing, too, attorneys, this is why the judicial system is corrupt and unconstitutional, too. Every lawyer in this country has to pass the bar. The British Bar Association. Every lawyer in this country is an English barrister, an English lawyer. Most people don't realize that. These lawyers don't follow the Constitution. They're beholden to the monarchy of England. Every
well,
lawyer
not just
really
that.
Commits, every lawyer
not
really commits
that,
treason
Bill.
Every day.
The Bill, they also, the Constitution clearly states that you cannot hold two offices because you can't be loyal to two different masters. So lawyers are, when they take their oath, they're sworn to their first allegiance is to the justices and the judges.
Yeah.
It's not to
yeah.
their client, and then to each other, and then to their client. So last. And so when they're
yeah.
in court and they're doing their theater, you know, because most of them want to
theater,
be actors.
Yeah. That's what it is. They're theater, yes.
And they're doing their performance. Their loyalty is to the judge, and the judge is going to make sure those lawyers are going to get paid. So if you go into court and you say, well, I can't afford a lawyer, that judge is going to say, well, you need to come back to this, most of them, not all of them. You need to come back to court. You go find yourself a lawyer. You find some money somewhere, you know, and go get yourself a lawyer. And so
right.
they will sometimes force people to go get a lawyer. And that is so ridiculous because, you know, lawyers you know, can charge $300 to $1,000 an hour. And most people, you know, cannot afford a lawyer any longer. So justice is for sale, as I stated in my book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, which was published in 2010, warning people
yep,
that the way before any of the Sean Hannity's or Tucker Carlson's or anybody, you can read my first book, it's out of print, but you can buy it used, that we are living in a, we were living in a three-tier justice system, but the three-tier justice system made up of the rich, the middle class, and the poor, turned into a two-tier justice system in the 90s for the rich and the middle class who could buy some justice if you owned a home and you had a savings account and maybe some stocks and jewelry you could sell to pay the lawyer, sign over your house to the lawyer, whatever, and but or a car, whatever. I'm laughing, but it's true. And then there's the poor who didn't have any justice, so they plea bargain. And so they fill the beds of the warehouses along with some middle-class people. And so this two-tier justice system, I warned, was going to turn in under the Obama regime into a one-tier justice system run by the executive office, making Congress meaningless because their job was to make laws, read them, review them, and approve them. And they gave that up with Obamacare. Clearly, they stated we must pass it in order before we can read it to see what's in it. That was a dereliction of their duty.
Yes.
And that's my opinion.
Very much so.
We paid them to do nothing because inside of that 2,700 pages was euthanasia for Americans. Euthanasia. Planned Parenthood to abort our American babies. Injections, experimental injections. And not just were we to pay for American use of those procedures, but the world, which was a secret. We didn't know we were going to pay for the world. And so Big Pharma never has to worry about distribution because we pay for it.
Yes.
And so people want to know why we're in debt, why they're printing money, why, because of all of these unknown, unseen agendas.
We weren't
and
in
untold.
Debt until they created the Federal Reserve Bank by an act of Congress on December 23rd, 1913. We were not in debt. We followed the Monetary Act of 1792. Money is gold and silver coin. Federal Reserve notes are not, is not the American dollar. The last time we had the American dollar was 1913. We've had Federal Reserve notes since then. And all that notes are, a bank note is a debt. People have to realize notes are debts. That is not money. Money is gold and silver coin. And the other thing the American people have to realize is Washington, D.C. is a British corporation. And when a president is elected, he is the president of that British corporation. And when a U.S. senator is elected or a U.S. congressman is elected to office in Washington, D.C., they are senators and congressmen of a British corporation. And they are beholden, they are all beholden to that British corporation and not the American people. It's all perpetrated, it's all treason, and it has been going on since at least 1871. And most Americans are clueless. And as I said earlier, not only the federal government, but every state government under this umbrella of the British Corporation of Washington, D.C., are corrupt as well because they're run by that federal entity, by that British corporation. So all of these politicians in office, they have basically dual, they're kind of like dual citizens. They are not representing the Constitution. They are not representing the American people. They are representing a British corporation. So they have divided loyalties, which, as you said earlier, it's a direct violation of the U.S. Constitution. And as I said earlier, it's called treason. So it's very
plain and simple. And on that note, Bill,
we're pretty well out of time, I know.
Oh, we're out of time. It's always so intriguing to speak with you, Bill, and we'll have to do it again because you always
bring
up new things that that myself and the audience didn't know and or didn't think about. And so truly appreciate your information and your knowledge, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
God bless you as well, Rose. Talk to you again real soon. Thank you for having me
on. All right. You're so welcome, Bill. Bye-bye. And Bill Byes, B-A-Y-E-S, veteran businessman retired high school teacher of history and music and involved in politics for many years, very knowledgeable on what's happening to our Constitution that we don't appear to be upholding, defending, protecting, and preserving in this new millennium and where we're all going to go. Well, I think we should get on our knees and pray, because this is bigger than us, and it is definitely something that we need to ask God for his intervention and to purge all the evil thoughts, the words, the deeds, negativity from our nation and the world, and to cleanse, forgive us, and we promise to repent and do better if God will just come and intervene. And I think we're learning some hard lessons, so maybe that's what was supposed to happen, to wake up, because in 1989, I coined the term on radio, Wake Up America, is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.